it up. Okay, here we go. Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. Dreams, what do they mean, and how can figuring out their meaning help you deal better with stress, anxiety, grief, and more? Joining us to shed some light on this subject is Jillian Holloway, PhD, a recognized expert in the field of dream interpretation. Jillian is a frequent guest commentator on radio and television programs on the subject of dreams. She is a leading teacher, trainer, and speaker in her area, whose work has been endorsed by the Association for the Study of Dreams. Jillian has written several books, and today we will focus on the Complete Dream Book, Discover That Your Dreams Reveal About You and Your Life, which is the only dream interpretation book based on concrete data about people's actual dreams and how the real events in their lives relate to their nighttime visions. Jillian, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thank you, Lisa.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm so excited to have you on the show, and I loved your books, and it really helped me understand some of my dreams, especially the reoccurring ones. And in the introduction, I mentioned that the Complete Dream Book is the only dream book based on concrete data about people's actual dreams. How did this come about?
Well, I started collecting the questions that people asked about dreams when I would teach and speak or be on the radio. And I was very interested that people asked the same questions over and over again. As I started collecting larger numbers of dreams, both through teaching and correspondence and then over the internet, I could see that we have more dreams in common than I had ever expected, and that we seem to have the same kinds of dreams when we face particular life challenges.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the dreams are connected, they're situation specific, and I hadn't realized that until I could collect tens of thousands
Wow.
of these modern dreams.
Oh, that's incredible. You know, also in the introduction, you know, to your book, the Complete Dream Book, you write, quote, what appears in your dreams says a great deal about your style of coping and achieving goals, as well as the pressures you may be facing. So you were just talking about that. A lot of times we're facing the same types of pressures, and so our dreams are going to have similar themes.
Yes, that is why people will so often, you know, if you talk to your friends about it, you'll find out that you've had the same dream about trying to find the toilet. Out. You know, and they're so quirky, and yet they're almost mathematically perfect for what you're dealing with and the way your personality is responding to it.
You know, it's so funny that I'm glad you mentioned personality, because you also talk in the introduction about how you write that certain personalities seem to coincide with particular dream themes.
That is absolutely true, and that's another thing that I had not found in the research until I started noticing it myself. And we have, you know, some of us are superheroes in the way we try to cope with things. We're the Lone Ranger all the time. We're delegating. And other people are prone to overwhelm and to asking for too much advice and then kind of running around in a circle. And their dreams reflect that. These are the people who get lost a lot, ask for advice, get the wrong directions, and then get lost again. So of exaggerate what's going, you know, where we're going off track sometimes.
Oh, that is that, you know, oh, definitely. And one of the dreams that I have a lot, and you mentioned this in the book, I think it's the first one you mentioned actually, is the exam. I suddenly didn't finish grad school, and or I'm back at community college and I keep missing the class and I can't find it, and then all of a sudden I have my thesis and it's due yet tomorrow and I haven't even started and I'm freaking out. I have that one a lot.
Oh my God.
What does that say?
So that lets us know. As you know from the book, I call that the overachiever.
Oh boy, here I go. Brings me to a question. When I was young, I used to have dreams within dreams. I would have a dream and then I'd have a dream that I woke up and it seemed so real, and I would tell everyone about the dream, but I was still really asleep, and then I'd wake up from that and I was confused. Wait, did I already wake up? What?
Oh, that's really interesting, Lisa. Those are called false awakenings.
Oh, okay.
And, they're not typical, but it's a personality trait that you're prone to them. These are people who focus really intensely and can kind of, you're like the surgeon that could look up and find out that there was an earthquake earlier in the surgery, but you hadn't noticed the plaster falling from the ceiling. That's very interesting.
Yeah, those are really interesting. And another thing I loved about your book is you write about studying psychology, and I found this really intriguing. You write, quote, although I study numerous approaches to helping people change, heal their scars, and make more productive decisions, nothing proved as potent as the discovery of messages from the wise and undamaged self that speaks to our dreams. I thought that was really fascinating.
Well, thanks. Yes, I find that, you know, good advice is not enough, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
If we could all do what we should do, we would just take care of everything immediately. But there's this emotional component involved. And one of the first dreams that really got me on my path was of a man who was trying to stop smoking, and he simply couldn't get himself to do it until he had a dream about his lungs.
Oh.
20 years in the future.
Oh.
And, of course, they were all charred up.
Ooh.
And he woke up not only realizing, okay, I've got to take care of this, but he had kind of a different motivation. Different emotional charge around the whole issue. It was no longer something he should take care of. It was something he wanted to take care of.
Oh, that's really important. You know, speaking of emotional charges, I'm going to ask my question. I have listeners, but I'm just going to ask this right out. My mother died. It'll be 15 years this year. And I'm wondering if other people who, you know, lost a loved one have these types of dreams. When she first died, for the first year, I had these dreams where she was alive. She'd say, tell me, why did you tell everyone that I died? I didn't die. I'm right here. And honestly, when I woke up, I would be so confused. For the first few minutes, I really was like, wait, did she die? And it would freak me out. And now I keep having these dreams recently, and it's reoccurring that she hasn't died, but she lives far away, and she has her own life, and she doesn't really want to see me. And she wants my dad back, but he's remarried, and she's upset. And I'm like, but wait, you're alive. Why won't you see me? But I didn't read anything like that. I don't know. I think I'm just some kind of oddball or something.
No, actually,
tell me about these, because I'm sure I'm sure a lot of people can relate.
Absolutely. The dreams that we have after we've lost someone follow a course of grieving.
Yeah.
And depending on the type of passage that happened and whether it was, you know, your child or your parent or something that was expected or something that was just...
Yeah.
A tragic accident. But It takes a lot to process that.
Yeah.
And the dreaming mind follows a course where after the first year, they tend to be, like you said, confusing and trying to explain why the person isn't there anymore. And often the person comes back and it's unpleasant. They reject you. And that's just the mind trying to process the fact that in the sense, when somebody dies, it is almost like they left you. Even though that's not logical, emotionally it feels like they took off and abandoned you.
Oh, so that's why I feel like she's here, but she's rejecting me, because
yes.
I wish she was here.
Yes.
Oh. And what about the earlier part where I kept dreaming that she hadn't, where she kept saying, why did you tell people I died? I guess that was me not wanting to accept it.
Well,
maybe.
Part of it too, digesting. It takes time to digest the reality of it.
Yeah.
And often people will dream that, oh, it was just all a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're actually working for the CIA or they're in.
I had a dream. My mom was hiding in Watsonville, California.
Okay.
I used to live in Santa Cruz, and she'd been hiding, but she was coming back. You know?
Yeah, that's exactly how that works.
Oh.
And over time, you'll notice year by year that the dreams will get better and they'll get more. You know, you'll sort of digest what has happened, and the pain of it will dissipate, and it will become, you know, a greater understanding. And you may even have some pleasant dreams about her where, you know, she's sort of telling you, look, I've got this new life, and, you know, I've got a garden. And
yeah, I hope so, because 15 years, I'm still having a hard time.
Yeah.
But I was in my 20s when she died, so.
Oh, okay. Well, sometimes it's very much like that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, Sherry from New York asks, is there any way I can learn to remember my dreams?
Sure. Yeah. Remembering your dreams is an acquired ability. And if it doesn't come naturally to you, then you need to do everything you can to kind of shore up the memory. One thing is to try to remember it and capture a fragment of a dream. Don't try and remember the whole thing right away, because that's too much work. Just remember a phrase or a particular image from it, and then you can retrieve the whole dream later on.
Oh,
also,
okay.
If you have friends who can remember their dreams, get them to tell you about them, because hearing somebody else's dream triggers your memories of your own.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, and Megan from Nebraska asks, why is losing teeth associated as a stress dream? You talk about that in your book. And I've had that dream just once, and it was horrible. All of my teeth started falling out.
It is horrible, yes. And fortunately, it doesn't seem to have anything to do with dental health.
Yeah.
Because this is a dream we have when we're younger. We don't have it so much when we're older. Even by the time you're 35, you tend not to have that dream anymore. And it can start as early as when you're 15.
Mm-hmm.
This is an anxiety dream about not being able to control your situation.
Oh, and, okay.
Of course, the younger you are, the more that's sort of the deal in life. And it's also, there's usually kind of making the best of a bargain that you don't enjoy, whether it's finishing school or any of the various responsibilities we have. Something that goes against the grain. I certainly had that when I was in school as an undergrad studying psychology, and it was all about torturing rats in mazes, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
And I thought, well, I've got to get the undergrad degree to get into grad school, but I absolutely hated it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I dreamed of losing my teeth over and over again until I got into grad school, and then it went away.
Oh, my gosh.
But I mean, that was a good decision. It was a positive thing to finish, but it cost me emotionally because I really, you know, it was just sort of against the grain.
Mm-hmm.
I hear this from people who are in marriages that are challenging or who are in the service and have realized too late, whoops, this really doesn't suit me, but I guess I'm in for 4 years. So it's kind of working through a compromise, and also there's stress involved. So it's often a recurring dream for a few years for people.
Mm-hmm. Well, there always seems to be plenty of stress around. Now, I got an interesting email from a woman named Alexis, and she's actually from Hawaii. And she said, maybe Jillian can help me with this dream I've been having ever since I was 14. I dream that I'm on the beach. I see massive 80-foot waves coming in. Sometimes they even have sharks swimming in the waves. And I spend the entire time trying to find places that would be safe, that I won't get washed away, but I never quite find one. And just as the water gets close to me, I wake up. I've had the same dream at least 9 times a year ever since I was 14. I think she's probably in her 30s, maybe. You'd think I'd figured out what it means by now. If she can give me any clues, that would be amazing. Thanks so much, Lex.
Yeah, the overwhelming wave dreams are something that does seem to coincide with a certain personality type. And these are people who do very well in life and very well in their external life, but they have been flooded at some time in their life, either by a tragedy or just by being in a family where they're the changeling or they're the informal therapist for the rest of the family.
Makes sense.
And so it's almost a dream where you get to take care of everybody else, but you don't get to have your emotions, or you don't get to have your needs. You're the junior superhero. And so these flooding dreams, interestingly, these are not neurotic people by any means, but it's almost as if everything that got put on hold occasionally, a couple times a year, will come in a big wave.
Oh.
And they'll experience getting hit by that. These are, as I said, high achievers and excellent copers, but they need to take time for themselves to occasionally step back and let themselves just process.
Oh, well, that's going to be really helpful. That's great. And Anna from Texas asks, if I dream something, does it mean I want it to happen or that it will happen or the opposite? I can usually remember my dreams in detail. Some are a little out there. I can relate to that.
Well, I'm glad that question came up because, of course, you know, Freud is legendary for inferring that a lot of our dreams are things that we want to have happen. And that kind of curdles your feelings when you wake up from a negative dream,
mm-hmm.
or something bad happened to a loved one and you think, oh, what's going on? Most of our dreams are not something that we want to have happen. 2/3 of the dreams that we have are anxiety-ridden and even nightmarish. This is because our dreaming mind is vigilant for threat, stress and loss and harm. Not because we're preoccupied with that, but there is just a part of the psyche that's always scanning the horizon, almost like a radar screen for any little blips that could be, that could spell trouble.
Oh, now Marta from California, this actually sounds like a really fun dream. She says she has two dreams that she wonders about. One is about a house that looks like a common house, but it's not. It has many rooms and levels. Sometimes the entire back wall is a huge window, and from there I can see a grassland with many exotic animals, or the back end is a tall rock wall and path. Around the wall is the sea. The other dream is about flying and how good it feels, not in an airplane, but on my own. That just sounds really pleasant.
Yes, those are both wonderful dreams.
Yeah.
Abilities as well.
Really?
Yeah, flying is linked up very often with a personality trait or a personality type that has a lot of abilities where they can kind of take off and soar on their own. Kind of like what you're doing with your radio show.
Oh. I mean,
it's just something where you just have this knack for something and you can just take off and do things that other people can't do.
Oh.
So the flying dream is a great sign for her. She's probably got some special ability. And the house dream is actually good. When you find levels or rooms in a home that are special or that are extraordinary, those are also implications of capacities in yourself. It's almost like finding a reserve of some special space that you have inside. So both of those dreams say the same thing in different ways, that she's got something special going on, and I hope she's taking advantage of it.
Oh, that's great. Oh, she's going to love that. Now, I have a lot of moms that listen to the show, and you have a section on childhood dreams, and there's something that you've written that I think is so important for parents to know. Quote, avoid the instincts to tell your child she is okay because it was just a dream and dreams aren't real. If you can talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, the first thing we want to do if a child is upset is to kind of get them to be unupset. And kids are very prone to having troubling dreams until they're about 6 or 7.
Okay.
We don't know exactly why, but their dreams are nightmarish, and it's fairly natural. So rather, the one thing we do know about nightmares is that dismissing them tends to create more nightmares and more intense dreams.
Oh.
But talking about your nightmares, it's almost like common sense. Talking about a problem makes you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about your dreams tends to make them be less nightmarish and less of an anxiety loop. So encouraging your children to talk about their dreams is a great thing. You don't have to try to explain them or come up with an answer. Just encourage them to talk about them and know they can bring them to you. We'll go farther than anything in terms of reducing their nightmares and their stress around their dreams.
Oh, that's good. I mean, your book is so fabulous because you not only have, and I wish we had more time, but you mention a bunch of different types of dreams, then you also talk about children and teenagers and older folks and everybody. I mean, it's really great. I highly encourage people to get the complete dream book, Discover What Your Dreams Reveal About You and Your Life. And Jillian, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, I have a website called lifetreks.com. That's LIFETREKS. There's lots of free information there and lots of links where you can write to me. If you've got a question about your dream, I'll be happy to try and answer you.
Oh, that's great. And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a terrific week. Keep being healthy. Bye-bye.